Hey everyone, and welcome back to The Advisor. My name is Lisa Urbanski. I'm the co-host of the show. If you have not yet liked and subscribed, I really encourage you to do so. We are growing so fast, and we want to make sure that we can continue to grow and provide you guys with amazing content. Back joining us is Ina Segal. So, what if the key to your health, your emotions, and purpose was hidden in your body's energy centers? So today, Inna is going to talk about the chakra map, revealing how imbalances in these energy centers really impact our lives and how to bring them back into balance. So she's going to talk about what they are and different ways of connecting with them and different energies that get stuck in there depending on where we are in our lives. So Inna is an internationally acclaimed intuitive healer, and she is the best-selling author of The Secret Language of Your Body. She is a pioneer in mind, body, spirit healing, and her work has touched more than millions across 100 different countries, blending visualizations, color therapy, breathwork, and chakra awareness into simple yet powerful practices. And I'm so excited to have her back. Before we start, I just want to send a quick shout out to Dr. Bradley Nelson and iHeartRadio for your sponsorship. Hey, it's so good to see you. I'm loving the leopard. You look like you're gonna go out on like kick some ass.
Thank you. I wake up and I'm like, what mood am I in? Lucky I have a lot of clothes with lots of different colors. That I guess I feel connect me to different aspects that I want to express during the day. And I really feel like it's part of our creativity, how we dress and the colors we choose and how we express. And I do love the combination of the colors you're wearing as well.
I love that you said that. Because I feel the same way. You know, different outfits can make us feel different types of power. Or, you know, if I'm not feeling that great, I'll throw on like a really comfortable hoodie that's maybe like a really earthy tone, just so I can feel really chill. I've recently been told by my subconscious that I'm in green overload though, and I look down and I'm wearing green right now. So I think I need to switch that up.
Well, you can't, it's hard to go wrong with green. I think it's
Yes,
one of those.
absolutely. It is. It's one of those colors. So we're talking about the chakras today. And you guys, if you haven't checked out the other episodes on in a series, you should. We talked about ancestral healing and about how the body speaks to us. And Inna went into her story about how her life changed so very greatly when she started listening to her body. And today we're going to go over the chakras. So, Inna, what are chakras, just generally?
So chakras are essentially energy centers that, from what I've seen, spin in actually both directions, in clockwise and anti-clockwise, and also at the front of the body and at the back, and give you quite different information. They're very That they connect to timelines and organs, from my exploration and understanding. They also connect to various experiences that you have had, and also archetypes. So they actually give us an understanding of our psyche and how we embody things. So when we access them and connect with them, we have an opportunity to understand ourselves as well as our health, and then to make changes based on what actually shows up. And it's something that I go into detail in teaching in my Awaken the Healer Within program. So yeah, I love talking about them.
Nice. So, how do imbalances in the chakras really show up? Like, what does it mean when you have an imbalance in one of your chakras, and how might you know that there is one?
Well, the imbalances show up through behaviors. They show up through feelings and feeling either completely blocked or overwhelmed, or feeling like something is numb or disconnected or disassociated and you're just stuck, or feeling intense sense of trauma or fear, anxiety, having health issues in particular parts of the body, having patterns that keep showing up over and over again that you're not aware of, or you are aware of, but that you don't necessarily focus on or understand, repetitive behaviors in terms of relationships. So yeah, there's a lot that goes on. Pretty much everything that we experience gets held and shows up in the chakras. So when I talk to people about various chakras, I usually ask the question, how many people relate to this? And most people relate to many, let's just say several of the seven chakras. And there's more than seven, but seven are major that everybody who has studied anything to do with energy medicine have some awareness of.
So, do you want to go through each one and give like a brief analysis on what it is and what different kind of life situations might be held there?
Yeah. So, I'm going to start. I think I will go from the crown down. So, the crown chakra is all about your ability to allow divinity to guide you, so to speak. It's connected to inspiration, to if we had to look at the archetype that is there, we have the sage on the, in terms of the positive, the side that empowers us, that goes, this is my wisdom, this is how I know my purpose. So this is connected to your purpose. I know how to think logically and clearly, and how to make good decisions and kind of guide my life based on wisdom that where I get inspiration, but I don't necessarily know where it comes from. I just have knowings. And when this part of us is shut down, we stop believing. We become very skeptical. So we become this skeptic, and we judge everything from the perspective of almost being an atheist. I don't believe in this. There's just the physical. And what I find on the physical level, when that happens, people often have issues with potentially headaches, with migraines, with countless nervous system disorders, and that could be anything from, I'm just thinking, from Parkinson's, just, that you're affected to, to people having Alzheimer's. Because they're just that there's so much disconnection there. And for me, it's interesting that very often people who don't want to kind of face things as they come up and just push things away and have a huge difficulty facing traumas or challenges, they're the ones who end up with Alzheimer's. From my experience, I've heard about the whole idea of eating badly and so on, and I just think eating badly affects everything in your body, and stress, but not wanting to remember, not wanting to deal with issues really has that impact. And then we kind of move to the third eye, which is kind of just slightly above your eyebrows in the middle. And this is very connected to your pineal and pituitary glands. And it's still about your connection spiritually, but it's also about how do I envisage things? Do I have a depth of vision in my life? Am I able to see beyond challenges? Am I able to figure out how to work with challenges and how to really transform challenges into opportunities? Or am I stuck on, everything just that just happens? And so we actually have an archetype here that which connects to a judge in the shadow, because we end up judging, and we end up essentially again disconnecting and procrastinating and making excuses for things. And then on the positive, we kind of have this visionary of, what is possible? What vision can we have of the future? What is, how can I create something in this world, in this life, that is really beautiful and effective? And of course, the third eye also has it has a name, eye, so it's going to have an impact on our eyes. So when people lose that ability to really, to really focus on what's positive, to really focus on what inspires them, they start to lose their vision, and they lose it internally and, in their actual eyes, because they cannot see the bigger picture, so to speak. And then when we move towards, and also this is, this impacts the ears and our ability, I guess many of our abilities in terms of intuitive ways of seeing things are connected to this third eye. I do want to just say that I personally, when I was, I guess, awakening in my own healing, I realized that I'm a very, very visual person. So the third eye for me is much more of an objective experience. So kind of object, it gives me this objectivity around when I don't know what to do, for instance, I'll concentrate and I'll actually ask for visual images to give me an insight into where is it that I want to go? Where is it that I need to be? And so I'll ask things like, show me if the doors are closed in terms of this particular opportunity, because it is a lot to do with opportunities, or if the doors are open and, and then I should go for it now or should I wait? And I'll often get this, image of an open door or a shut door, which is really interesting, and then I'll make decisions of what I do based on that kind of insight. And also when I tune into people, I feel like even though I can feel things kinesthetic, and through touch and through feeling, I can tell exactly the state the person's is, where they're at. But again, I find that when I see it, it's much more objective. It's not based on whatever it is that I'm, I just feel like feelings can be very powerful when it's you're focused within yourself. But eventually, if you're somebody who really wants to give, insights and messages to people, it's really important to develop that. And it is, and there are exercises in the chakras that you can develop this ability to see more objectively.
Without
I
the
do want to
feelings
say,
involved. That makes sense because then we could confuse our own state with the state that they're in, right? You get those mixed messages.
Well, exactly. And I also just want to say that often people in the kind of, spiritual community or self-help don't necessarily, they kind of feel like this intuitive ability just opens up and you don't have to do anything with it. You just need to use it, right? You just use it. And that's definitely what I thought until I remember reading this book from Rudolf Steiner, who's been a huge inspiration for me. And he spoke about how if you're always using your intuition, but you don't refine it, what's going to happen is that you'll start to, like, this part of your body will actually start to, and I mean the head in particular, you start to get a lot of headaches. And you'll start to become angry. And I have to say, there were people that I admired a lot in, when I first started. And he said that this would happen between 10 and 15 years. And so I was reflecting on the people, very famous authors that I'd met and spent time with, who were talking about how they were getting these horrible headaches. And they were, at times, I'd go to some of their events and they were quite aggressive in the events. And so I remember thinking, oh my God, I need to do something about it because I'm getting to that stage as well by the time I
Like
read that.
aggressive as in like fear-based or like angry, or what do you mean by aggressive?
Angry. Angry, like, I mean, obviously I didn't see them with the people that are close to them, some of them, but well, having said that, that's not quite true with some of them, because I knew a lot of very well-known people and I knew people who worked with them. So some of them were just horrendous in how they were treating the people they worked with. Where I remember one, again, not gonna name names, but one very, like, super famous person, and I was very connected to her assistant. And I remember one time we were on the phone and she was literally screaming and being so nasty to this assistant who had basically made sure that she had a career. So it wasn't just some little, someone, from another country. It was like, this woman was very important and worked with a lot of important people. And I just could not believe that. And then, and then I've seen people be in events and just start screaming at the audience and telling the audience off and saying, actually saying things like, are you? I remember being at an event in Australia, in Melbourne, and this particular person, she started shouting and saying, are people in Melbourne that stupid? And everyone just went into fear, I guess, from it and, afraid to ask a question, and it was so uncomfortable. There was about 500 people in the room, and I just remember feeling like this is pretty ugly, like this is the ugly side of this.
So that's when there's too much subjectivity attached to the third eye.
Well, I just think it's been used without refinement. I think it's been used without actually doing the exercises that and some of these exercises that I'm talking about are, for instance, concentration. So I hated this exercise when I first started doing it, and but it was one of the best exercises that that I did. It was anyone can actually do it. You take anything, like you take pen. Let's just say, you take a pen and you start with giving yourself 2 minutes of time. And then you literally concentrate on the pen and you try to create as many thoughts that are logical and go in like a logical direction in terms of this pen without it, and you might be aware how your mind goes into one direction or another, but just literally keeping it to this focus and going back to the pen, And then and then you do it the next day, and you do it for, let's say, a week for 2 minutes, and then the next week you do it for 5 minutes, and you use the same object for at least, 3 or 4 months, because then it
Oh
becomes challenging, to,
my God,
and you
this
don't need
me and this pen would sure be best buddies.
and it's not that you need to have completely new thoughts every time, but you need to have logical thoughts where one follows another. And you can look things up about pens to give yourself more capacity for, for these thoughts.
So what do you mean by logical things that follow each other? So like the pen has a cap and the pen then has a tip and it's blue and it's fine tipped and it says gel on it. Like what do you mean logic, like sequential?
Yeah, like that. And then you might go, you might even have questions that I wonder who created this pen. I wonder which company. I wonder how many people work for this company that created this pen. So you can actually move away from just the pen, but you're still focused on the pen because
Okay.
you're actually learning how to think in a really specific way where you're concentrating, you're very logical as well, and it's just amazing what happens after. And once you've finished this, you actually visualize this. You feel like all the energy from the third eye and from just this concentration goes into the back of your head, and you focus on words like confidence and calm. And then you sense as this energy that's been created, that subtle energy, moves through your whole nervous system with that sense of calming you. And oh my God, it is amazing in terms of calming your nervous system, and something that ideally people do in the morning, because then your day becomes so much easier. So it's just one of the exercises that take a few minutes to do, but essentially when you're tuning in, you need to be really good at concentrating, and you also need to be objective and logical, especially with the body, I found. So it was just an amazing exercise, and I did it daily, I think, for about 5 years.
Holy smokes. What was your object?
Well, I had a I went through, I think, well, pens. Definitely had some pens,
The
and
longest
pencils.
book ever written on pens is by Ina Sigal. It's like 1,000 pages.
At one point, I think I started with a crystal because I was like, I need to start easy. I need to ease myself into it. I know lots about crystals, so I can think about it a lot. But then the idea was to find something, an object that wasn't interesting in a sense of like I can think, like a pen or a pencil in that way. But I did it with rocks. I did it with all sorts of things over the years. But yeah, so that's just one of the aspects. But then coming back to the chakras, we have the throat chakra. And here, it's obvious you have issues around your thyroid, issues around your throat, issues around communication, neck pain, because we don't communicate and we push things in the back, and into the back. And the throat is essentially, it's like a voice is, and the sound of our voice is who we are on this deep, deep level. And whilst I'm not the biggest fan of all the tools that are there at the moment, because I feel like people become lazy and just go to anything that is, like AI type made from, because they don't want to participate, and we must learn to participate. But I did see this one, tool that was really interesting, where you basically you speak, and they give you a sentence to say or a few sentences, and just from your voice, it can tell you all your health issues. So I just found it
Is that the
really,
AO scan?
that one,
Yeah, that is super cool. You say like a 10-second blurb and then it literally pulls apart your entire health story. It's amazing.
Yeah,
I
because
remember it
your
predicted
voice,
that I was
yeah.
gonna get a yeast infection and that I was having issues with cholesterol because I just had a big breakfast with like a bunch of bacon and eggs, and this was like months ago. And literally the next day I woke up with a yeast infection.
I mean, it's amazing when you can have like those scanning tools, but I still think you know, we still need to connect back to ourselves.
Totally.
But yeah, your voice is, it represents your kind of the uniqueness of you, because nobody has
Yes.
exactly the same voice as anyone else. And it's all about how do we use our voice? And it's really interesting because of where the throat is. It's very connected to the third eye meets the heart. And many, many issues, many, many health challenges actually start in the throat, even if they don't show up physically in the throat. So they start there because we shut down, we don't communicate. And that could also be a lot of mental illness. I haven't spoken, I didn't say much about it, which obviously also affects the head and the third eye. But a lot of it is also coming from early on in our lives when we felt we couldn't be ourselves, we couldn't communicate, we couldn't be who we are, because
Speaking our
maybe,
truth, right?
maybe our parents were, very focused, let's say, on mathematics or on business, and we're, somebody's a very creative, sensitive person, and so they have to hide and push that away. I was speaking to somebody yesterday about that, and we talked about getting gallstones, and because he was very sensitive when he was younger, and that was not accepted, he shut down and then ended up with gallstones, and having to take his gallbladder out. And my first question was,
Wow.
did you have issues with your dad? And he's like, how did you know? Because the wisdom of the body, and also understanding the chakras. So we also have, so we have the throat chakra, obviously about communication, and also the communicator archetype. And that communicator archetype can be there, in a way, none of us know how to communicate perfectly. And even if we're great at communicating, in public, we can be terrible at communicating with our loved ones. So we all have different challenges in terms of communication, and part of it is what I was saying is because we need to connect to a heart meets, division of what is it that I want to say and to whom, and is this the right way to say it? And in particular, between men and women, there's so much confusion and frustration,
I'm
right, around
laughing
having a
because it's
baby.
like Mars is that women are from Mars and men are women are from Venus, men are from Mars. Yeah,
Yeah.
just it's tough.
Exactly. And so, and so that we need to learn, especially when we do recognize that that's an issue. And then we've got the heart, and the heart is all about intimacy, intimacy. And it's really interesting because, obviously, when we're looking at heart issues and blood pressure and all of this stuff, heart issues are always in the top five of, what kills you, basically, what, diseases that, that cause you either a lot of pain. Like, we have strokes, we have heart attacks, we have all sorts of heart issues. And so much of this is actually connected to our inability to work through hurt, feel our feelings instead of suppressing and numbing them, communicate with people in our lives instead of just cutting them off, work on our relationships instead of running away, understand ourselves, understand what self-love means and how to, what that looks like. Everybody talks about it, and very few people actually know what that looks like in terms of a practice, a daily practice. And I would say, when I talk to people about it, when you make light, when you make changes, self-love is making life changes that align, and they're from the moment you wake up, it's making a decision, let's say, to meditate or connect to the divine and just allow it to feel your body, feel your body up with that type of vitality. It is scanning your body or even connecting to your heart and asking, what do you feel and what do you need today? What do I need today to nourish myself? It's how you eat. It is, what you think about during the day. It's where you put your attention. It's how you communicate. It's literally everything. It's everything you do through the day becomes self-love or self-hate, depends on how you do it and depends on the perspective that you take and whether you're conscious of it or not. And so it is a conscious and can be very fun and joyful effort to keep connecting to your heart and exploring. And so the heart is also connected to our purpose and to asking that question of why am I here? What is it that I want to do? Why do I want to do this? What is it that, I'm meant to do? Why am I making this choice? And it's about that alignment within your soul and within yourself. So at the moment, I'm teaching about soul purpose and discovering it. So, this is definitely connected to the heart, but also, which part of the heart are we following? Is it the herd heart, which actually connects to the saboteur archetype, which pushes us away? Well, pushes all the opportunities away from us because we're afraid and we become a great procrastinator because we're afraid, or it brings opportunities towards us. And I remember actually talking when I was 21, 22, interviewing Paulo Coelho, who wrote The Alchemist, and we were talking about purpose,
Oh
and
my
he
God,
said
that book
that,
changed my life. I loved it. Oh my God, so
right?
good.
It's amazing. It was so inspirational for me too. And he said that he didn't write the book because he thought that he was going to be a good writer or that he could even succeed. But he wrote the book because he can't, he was in his 40s at the time because he connected to his heart and he went, it's now or never. It's almost like, I either do it now, I've procrastinated for a long time. I either do it now and I live my dream of being, a writer, or I just give up on my dream and, what the book is about. And so it was really kind of inspirational to hear from him as well around this. And I remember, if I can tell him a story around Paulo Coelho that inspired me. He said, he did this experiment with intuition and dreams for about 30 days. Whatever dream he had, he when he woke up, let's say he had a dream to go to a mountain, he would go to the mountain that day. If he had a dream to go to the library, he would go and sit in the library. And he said it was, and people can say, well, I don't remember my dreams. Well, I think for him, it was like, if I'm going to do this, I am more likely to remember it, remember some part of it. I might call somebody, it may not be the whole dream, but, or it might just be an intuitive hit that he got. I am now going to go and do something. And I remember hearing about this, and I was so inspired, in my own journey to go, this is what it means to listen to your intuition, and had some pretty incredible, experiences of my own happen around
Do you
this.
reach out to people that you dream about, or do you think that those people are more? I know we're getting off topic here, but or do you think that symbolizes like a time in your life? Like, it's say you had a dream about someone from your childhood that you went to high school with, would you reach out to them and be like, I had a dream about you. How are you doing? Or would you think of it more as a symbolic thing?
I think potentially, if you were doing that type of an exercise, I mean, for me, I think after I heard him, I went, okay, I'm gonna go on a holiday, and I'm gonna put it into Google. I'm gonna put best holiday, at the time in Australia, and whatever comes up, I'm gonna book that holiday. I'm not even gonna look at, where it is, how I'm gonna get there, because, because I was in that, state of mind. That's what I'm gonna do, and it was so incredible. So I remember this place, Port Macquarie, came up, and I went, okay, booking it, and then a week later, I was like, where is it again? And it was like something like 20 hours from where I lived, driving, because I decided to, I had a baby, and so I was like, or I think two, we're gonna drive, because that was smart, I thought, and we were gonna go to Sydney, which was on the way, and so I was kind of reflecting on it, and then I remember sitting in bed and thinking, reading this book again from can't remember who it was, but it was all to do with it, with connecting to yourself and intuition. Oh, sorry, it was Edgar Cayce. It's a book from Edgar Cayce, and he was talking about how when he was 13, he'd asked, for an angel to come to him and help him to guide his life to what he wanted to do, which was to help people. And I actually remember thinking, oh my God, I wish, after I read that, I wish that happened to me, not expecting anything to happen. And this was just right after I actually booked that particular trip. And this angelic being literally filled the room and appeared to me, and and I was saying, I don't know if I'm really, I think I'm on my path, but how do I know fully? That I was so young at the time, and this angel is saying, well, actually, you've just stepped onto your path, and you're going to do a lot of traveling. And I was terrified. I'd never been on a plane by myself. I was like, how am I going to do it? I have a 1-year-old and like a two, a 3-year-old. How does that even work? And the angel was saying, you're going to write these books. They're going to sell, a lot. You're going to be, like doing all this stuff and teaching around the world. And I remember kind of being very skeptical and going, yeah, but for that type of thing, people have to know you. And the angel said, oh, don't worry, you'll get publicity soon. I remember thinking to myself, no, okay, I've made this up. I've just visualized this. No angel speaks like this. And so this was Saturday morning. And then I was speaking, I told my, husband at the time what happened, thinking he's going to laugh at me and be really skeptical. And he just went, I don't know why you're so skeptical. I believe it. And I went, really? Okay. And then I didn't tell anyone. Anyway, that Saturday night, the phone was ringing, at 9 p.m. So I was sitting there with some friends, and the phone's ringing. And I'm thinking to my mom, I'm not picking up this phone right now. And just kept ringing and ringing, not going to the answering machine. And I finally picked up the phone, and I was like, a little rough. Hello. Thinking, why is she calling me this late? And this person on the other line said, oh, I didn't realize, I didn't think you'd pick up the phone. I was just going to leave a message. My name is Julie, and I'm a journalist for Women's Day. And I don't know if you guys have Women's Day, but it's like the biggest magazine in Australia. And she said, I'd really like to interview you. And I went, what? I didn't have a book. I was, 25. Nobody knew me. It was just like, what? And then she said to me, when are you coming to Sydney? Because I want to interview you in person. And I was like, in a few days? And she went, great, let's organize an interview. And then when I was in Sydney, oh, and just before we hung up, she goes, I have to ask you this question. And I said, yeah. And she went, do you ever work with the angels? Because I'd not told anybody. And I just went, oh my God, like, this is, like, how does this even happen? I am nobody. Nobody knows, what, like, I haven't done anything yet, really. And Yeah, it was amazing. I met her and then she said to me, "You know, when I was speaking to you on the phone, I just kept getting TV, TV, TV. You're going to be on TV soon," which I was. And just like so many doors opened up and things happen from me just asking questions and, reading books and going, what's possible, especially around my purpose, which is again around the heart. So ask questions is the moral of the story as well, and you have no idea what will happen. And then just moving, into the solar plexus, this is your digestive system. This is the area that people, they're taking so much stress and worry into. This is where, obviously your stomach is there, but your whole, your intestines, your feelings, your solar plexus is connected to your liver, to your spleen. So when we start and gallbladder is, in between the sacral and the solar plexus. So you start to, this is an area where this is about your feelings. So your heart is there, that as well, but this is about your feelings, but in particular, how you really deeply feel about yourself. And also your ability to deal with challenges, your ability to assimilate challenges. Many, many people have digestive issues, especially as they get older, because not only because they don't eat well, but because they don't process what occurred. They don't have a way. They just, push it away and or numb it, like I've said, and then they end up with major, major issues because they don't know what to do with those feelings, and it is this feeling center. And when we look at archetypes that are connected to it, we have the victim, and the victorious part. And you can either feed and nourish the victim, or you can feed the victorious part of you and allow it to essentially, to shine and to guide you. But this is where also where we start to take actions. We start to ask questions around, what is it that I need to do in my life? We start to move towards a doing experience. This is what I'm feeling. But also, especially if I want to live my life's purpose, what is it that I need to do? How do I, what action do I need to take? What do I need to learn? What is my investment in myself? So this is where we either back ourselves with our dreams and goals and desires as well, or we do the complete opposite. And so we end up sabotaging. And just I'm not sure if I made it clear. So here we have in the shadow, in the heart, we have the saboteur, or we have the kind of, the wise guide guiding us in our life. So each part is really connected, and several of them work together. So we have this victim, and then we go into the, which I said is connected to your whole digestive system, essentially. Obviously, besides the large intestine. So then we go into the sacral, and this is a lot to do with family conditioning, what we saw, our creativity. There's a lot of feminine energy in there. There's a lot of this is connected to your inner child from the age of 7 to 14. This is an area where we either allow ourselves to be really creative and to be who we are, or it gets blocked. And so we start to have reproductive issues. This is about identity. Who am I? How am I showing up in the world? What is my identity? How do I mean, there's been a lot of conversation about this in the last few years, but it's more than that. It's more than my sexual identity. It's actually connected to, on the deepest level, what happened in my family? How was I treated? What did I discover And how did it affect me in terms of who I be, later became as a person? What are my, really deep beliefs about who I am and how lovable I am and how attractive I am? So a lot of the beauty industry is actually connected to the sacral chakra as well. This idea we want to be young forever. We are fearful of aging. We're fearful of loss of, health, power, whatever it is, beauty. And so, yeah, there's a lot that goes on here. And this is also why, again, we see a lot of reproductive issues showing up, with women as they get, some into their, perimenopausal stage or menopausal, but even earlier, in the late 30s and their early 40s, because it's like we have such a disassociation in this society with our feminine. We just need to succeed. We need to, protect ourselves and make things happen. And, kind of the feminine is about slow and flow and allowing things to happen. I have a friend who's really, really practiced her femininity. And I remember when we first met, and I would say to her, we'd meet up 3 times a week, and I'd say to her, "So what have you been doing this week?" And she would go, "I've been sitting by the pool, relaxing, connecting to, self-love and self-nurturing and feminine, doing a little bit of journaling, nourishing myself with food." And I was like, "What do you actually do?" And she went, "I chill, I relax, I connect. And, I am slow." And I remember thinking, "Oh my God, it's like we are the polar opposites at the moment. I'm just rushing, from being a mom and driving, my daughter here, my son here, getting food, trying to, make dinners, working, like full on." And she's just like, "Yeah, I'm sitting by the pool." And I was like, "Okay, we need to be friends because I need to slow down. I
Yeah,
need to get
that's like
some
yin
of
and
what
yang
you
right
have."
there.
Yeah, so we ended up having a lot of time together because I was like, "I need to understand this and recognize what it does." It's like, what does it feel like to be slow inside yourself? So again, these reproductive issues are also connected to relationships and, that didn't work out, that were really painful, that we didn't work through. And we just went, "Oh, painful, put it away." And they're connected, often also to, like I said, that the time period 7 to 14. So with men in particular, what I found was that if there were massive major issues with the mother, like the mother somehow rejected them, and a lot of men have experienced it, or boys have experienced that, they may start to have reproductive issues and prostate issues as they get older, even though it happened when they were younger. And so that will show up. It can also show up for males in just not feeling masculine enough, not feeling strong enough, not feeling like, I've done enough to provide and to create things in my life. So again, but because this is, we're entering into the will center of, I now manifest, and I have an idea, I talk about it, I connect to my heart, I study and kind of have a vision of what to do, and the steps, like goals that I'm going to take. And then I start to take action, and then this is like I'm about to give birth to a baby or to an idea or to an experience. And so it is very important to keep working with that energy and not stop it, because that's where you start having major issues like cysts, for instance, that start growing in the reproductive system. And it's almost like, yeah, that unfinished dreams and goals. But As we move into the root chakra, which is connected to our sexual organs, and I find it hilarious. Sometimes I talk about this, and people say to me, "How dare you say this? This is about, the sacral is sexual and the root chakra is not sexual." I'm like, "It's called root. I'm sorry. Come on, like, why is it called root chakra? I mean, like, let's wake up here. One, this is how we use that chakra to have a sexual experience. How could it not be sexual? That's ridiculous, to say that. And it's also quite an intuitive chakra. We feel and sense, things about other people through it. This is very much family. So this is a tribe. What are, the ages are connected to 0 to 7, where our physical body was forming, and in terms of, what is a level of health going to be? This is an area that, like that, both the sacral and the root chakra are deeply connected to your reproductive system. This chakra is also about manifesting things into the physical reality, depending on whether it's blocked or it's, operational. Let's just say and expanded, we literally attract, and we can attract what we don't want if we keep going on about that, or what we really, really want and desire through this chakra. And it's, it's about our deepest belief systems, and also anything we experience in the first 7 years of life. It's about our stages of development during those 7 years of life. When we're, 0 to 7, we don't have an etheric body that is kind of awakened yet. So we're in the etheric body, in the kind of energy field of whoever's looking after us, might be a mother or a grandmother, whoever. And every deep belief they have, we absorb that, and we end up, this is how our nervous system literally kind of gets created. It's like wired. And so it's not just the thinking, it's literally, this is what I believe, this is what I create, this is what I've seen, and this is how life works. And so this timeline, 0 to 7, is really, really important. And here we have actually two archetypes. One, this inner child, 0 to 7, and then we also, when we're about 18, or 18 to 21, we have the archetype of the prostitute showing up. So it's in its shadow, it is how you kind of prostitute yourself, or how you don't live in alignment with your deepest dreams and desires, and you're doing what somebody else told you to do in terms of your work, in particular in making money. You're not in integrity. And then I've called it the light side of the prostitute. I've called it the divine lover of life. The one that you cannot manipulate this part. You live in alignment with it, and you takes, you do what feels true and right for you in your life. And also, we have back issues that are very, like, lower back, that's connected to both the sacral and the root chakra, depending on where it is. We have bowel issues that are connected. Interesting, headaches are also connected, because the body reflects itself, and if we have a lot of rage or anger that is, connected to our family, we're going to carry it in the root chakra. It's heavier, obviously. It's, and that can also cause all sorts of headaches, especially migraines are connected to this, skin issues. It's quite a lot. That's,
Yeah.
yeah.
I've heard that once you've like essentially activated or cleared out one of your energy centers, that they're going to be clear like for life. Is that factor or a myth?
Think that's wishful thinking.
Yeah.
It's like as
Yeah,
long
I
as you
heard what I
breathe and
heard was
eat.
once activated, they cannot be like it cannot be turned around, but that doesn't make sense because we're going to
No.
continue living li our life, so
Yeah, that's a good sell. That's a good selling point, but it's not the truth because every day, your chakras are either, it's not that they never shut down unless you die, but what they're doing is that they contract and they expand. Depends on what you're doing and what you're experiencing. So you could have a contracted chakra that hardly moves. One of the things that I've seen lately that's been, disturbing to me is that certain people, if they start doing healing work, and I think that's, an interesting one, and it's like they become aware of what's going on, but they're not willing to do the deep work. They're skating on the surface, as I would say. What happens within a particular amount of time, it could be a year or 2 years, is that this chakra that they need to work on, and they might even have pain that's very connected to it, it becomes so empty. It's almost like, or if they're working on the wrong thing because they don't want to face stuff, I've seen like a hole inside where the chakra should be.
Wow.
And so to me, it's been really interesting because the behavior that I've seen from these people as well is very, it's illogical, is the best way to say it. It's like the wisdom of the archetypes, the wisdom of what's there, has been so ignored that it's almost like the shadow really takes over. And the only way that I can really understand this from all my training is that the shadow parts become so, it's like you feed them so much, they take over and they create, they literally feed off you and they create this hole inside of your, where whatever the chakra is in. I've seen it more in the solar plexus and the sacral, so it's almost like you become quite empty because these parts of you feed off this negativity that you carry and the suppression. So I don't recommend it. I recommend to connect and explore and do the work on yourself. And whether you start with an archetype, whether you start with a chakra, whether you start with a body part, start is the, just start, just begin from,
Yeah, absolutely. So where can people find out more about you and the work that you do?
so people can go to innersigal.com, so InnerSigal.com, and I always encourage people to dive a little deeper and look at my master classes, which is just InnerSigal.com/masterclass. It's a very, very simple, and I think I mentioned the Awaken the Healer Within, which is a 10-day program that I do, and this is a workbook, connected to this program. So yeah, there's a lot, and we go through the chakras in a really deep way, over days, and we do processes after each chakra and try to understand what's really there, both on a physical, emotional, mental, energetic levels of experiences. And archetypes, and we, some of the chakras we work on through various components, because I want people to go deeper, and so I've separated the archetypes, and we meet certain archetypes that are very strong within humanity at the present first, and then we, come back and work on the chakra with that archetype the second time in a different way, so that people can really deeply understand this work.
Amazing. Do you have any last minute thoughts on today's topic before we go for today?
I really feel that the idea is to start learning and discovering because each chakra has so much wisdom and knowledge and information, and also not rushing it. So, for instance, if you are exploring the chakras in a deeper way, take a week and journal and explore and, move your hands and feel the energy and ask questions and try to really understand about that particular chakra for a week and just give yourself this 7 week experience to discover. So do it properly. Don't rush things. Do things with detail, and I also encourage people to start with that little concentration exercise because then it's a
I'm
lot
never going to look at
easier to
this pen
stay
the same ever again. Oh
there. Thank you.
my gosh. Thank you so much for being here and for, talking about all of those things. It's a very popular subject right now, and everyone just wants a better understanding of who they are on that level. And you're right, to go through each area of the body and ask what's here? Like, what do I feel? What do I think? What do I see? Patience. We need patience for that.
Yeah, I do.
Yes, amazing. I look forward to seeing you again, and to our audience, thank you for tuning in. Please do not forget to like and subscribe, and we're going to have all of those links that Anna was talking about in the show notes for you, so you can go check out her masterclass, her website, and all the other amazing things that she has on there. Take care, everybody. Look after your bodies and get curious. Get curious, but be patient. Until next time, take care.